Proverbs chapter 18, all right? Proverbs chapter 18, if you will. We're going to look at one verse in this chapter, and then we're going to move all around the book of Proverbs, all right? If you got a Scofield Bible, it's on page 685. I had somebody ask me to say that because it helps them, all right? So Proverbs chapter 18, had the funeral this afternoon for Mrs. Moore. Appreciate those of you who could come, coming. And that, I think, that was a blessing and had good representation from our church. And what a blessing to have saints of God. They go home to be with the Lord, and it's good to be at the service, all right? It's good to be there to just, you know, say, hey, we remember you, we'll miss you, and we're looking forward to seeing you again soon, all right? I trust the Lord will come back quickly for all of us. I don't mind it if I go, you know, on my own, but I really like for us all to go together. And not in a terrorist attack, but in the rapture, okay? In the rapture. I just love for it to be that way. All right, been trying to preach to you on Wednesday night about getting wisdom, all right? Getting wisdom, just trying to look at some things, not necessarily all in the book of Proverbs. Tonight, all the references will be there. Why don't you look at verse 24? The Bible said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to speak to you tonight about getting wisdom regarding relationships and really regarding the friend relationship. All close relationships have to do with friendship. Friendship. And you say, well, there's a husband and wife. Lord help, I hope we're good friends with them. I hope we're friends with them, you know. I was thinking about it. I don't think I have a better friend in the world than my wife is. And I've got some friends, but none better than that, all right? And so all the relationships really be helped by this. And this text verse is familiar. You've heard it before and maybe heard it preached from. And I'll be honest and submit to you tonight, to me, the truth of this verse is apparent. And it ought to be something we say, well, I don't even need you to tell me that. And I would think that in many cases, yet the problem is so many people in this old world don't seem to be able to figure out how to develop and maintain good, cordial relationships with other people. It's amazing to me, okay? I have no idea how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I just don't have any friends. Or something like this, I have very few friends. Well, I believe this. I believe that that's the case, then there's a reason. There is a reason that's true. The scriptures, and we won't cover all of them tonight. There's no way we can. But there's a definite, I think, there's plain instruction from the scriptures to help us have good relationships with other people. All the time. It's true in the workplace. It's true in the worship place. It's true in the neighbor place. It's true in the marriage or home place, all right? There's instruction for us, and it'll help us, okay? Number one, and this is a staggering thought, just be friendly. Just be friendly. Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I don't know who said it. I've read it in more than one place. The best vitamin for developing friends is be one. Be one. Our problem is we want to have friends. And we look at everything from the standpoint of, well, I want to have friends. Well, the way to have friends is to be a friend. Now, I didn't realize that was such an earth-moving, earth-shaking thought. But over the years, I think I've run into a lot of people that have never figured that out, all right? Just to be friendly, be cordial, be congenial. Now, I'll be honest, I was writing down these notes, and I got to thinking, okay, what in the world does that mean? We don't carry a dictionary around with us. Of course, if you got a phone, you can look it up. I understand that, all right? But, you know, what is it? What does it take? I'm going to give you some profound thoughts, okay? Profound thoughts help you tonight. Smiles go a long way. Smiles just go a long, long way. Learn to smile at people. Learn to smile at people. You know, hadn't that disarmed you before, somebody smile at you? You know, I told you about the experience we had. I was visiting with, his name just escaped me. He was on the staff of the church with my dad, and I went visiting with him, and we were out there knocking on the door. This lady came to the door, and he introduced us, and he introduced himself. I can't remember who he was, but he introduced himself that day. And he introduced me, and immediately that woman, it's just crabby. I don't remember what church she went to. I'm going to say Methodist, all right? But it was like, well, I go to the Methodist church. And I'll never forget him saying, he put the biggest smile you've ever seen on his face and said, isn't it wonderful being a Christian? And I mean, it just turned things around, all right? Hey, smiles go a long way. It helps. You're going to be friendly. Speak to people. Hey, how's your mama? Okay? How's everything going? You know, I told you, I don't like going to Walmart. I don't like going anywhere through a self-checkout. I don't like doing that. As far as I'm concerned, if they're going to go through a self-checkout and you got to bag your own groceries, bless God, they ought to be cheaper. All right? If you got to carry them out yourself, they ought to be cheaper. There's nobody there to work with. You say, why don't you like going through that deal? Because I like to talk to people. And I feel stupid talking to the machine. Hey, how's your day going, buddy? Is all the lights working in there? I mean, just feel stupid. So I like to talk to people. The big people come up. I go to Walmart and say, man, how you doing? I say, well, life's grand. Couldn't get any better than going and spending time at Walmart. And people laugh, and hey, but you got an opportunity to do it. Learn to speak to people. Show an interest in people. Show an interest in people. I've said it before, and I'll say it over and over again. People in this old world, we live in a world where people get isolated. Isolated. And in the midst of all the rapid communication we have, people are more isolated all the time. We're in a day where I don't think we know hardly how to have a conversation with human beings because so much of it is online, it's through texting or some other kind of social media, and it's all that stuff's out there. So we've lost interest. We don't have that. People need to see somebody's interested in them. You want to have friends, be friendly. Show an interest in people, all right? If the only person you're interested in is you, then you're going to have trouble developing friends. You know, I said learn to talk to people, but it's not good if you say, let me just tell you how good I am. Let me tell you what a wonderful day I'm having. No, that's not the thing. Show an interest in people. Give an interest in them. Let them know. Just let them know that. I know. I'm shy. Okay, then force yourself. Force yourself to get out of your shell. Just make, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just don't do it. Don't do it. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. Been there. I told you, when I was a teenager, I was quite happy. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Come to church, I was happy to be in church. I didn't mind being there. Now, if somebody come and spoke to me, I would speak. That's not a problem. But don't expect me to be the outgoing one and do all that. Just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. I'll sit over there. I'll participate. I'll shake my head. I'll pay attention. But leave me alone. Because I was shy. I was very shy. So how'd you get out of it? Well, I made myself. Because my dad told me to. My dad said, do it. So I said, okay, you know. Hey, listen, you can do that. You just it's just being friendly. An interest in people. Some people are interesting. Weird people are interesting to me. I see somebody that's got tattoos all over everywhere and metal hanging out. They're interesting to me. I want to talk to them. I want to say, what made you do that?
Now, you said, "Preacher, you really do that?" Yes. Yeah, I've asked women, I said, "What made you pierce your tongue?" They had a pierced tongue, and they said, "Oh, you saw that?" I said, "Well, yeah, I saw it." Yeah, I just wonder what made you do that. You know, what were you doing? I talked to a lady for, man, probably an hour. We were on an airplane together coming back from South Carolina, and we'd stopped over in Houston, and I was sitting there, and there's nothing to do, so she wasn't doing anything. So I said, "Hey, I noticed that tattoo on your finger." Had a tattoo on her finger right here. And I said, "Man, didn't that hurt?" She said, "It hurt terrible." "So why'd you do it, you know? You just like pain or something, you know?" And I got to talking to her, and just doing it. Now, I didn't talk. It's not accusing. It's talking, okay? Why? Because I was interested. I wanted to know. When I talked to that lady, had the tongue pierced, I said, "Why'd you do that? What made you do that?" Her reply was super interesting to me. She said, "Well, really, it was rebellion." I thought, well, that's telling. Right, that's telling. Hey, just talk to people. Be friendly. Be friendly. Just plain and simple, be friendly. All right, take your Bible, chapter 17. Shouldn't have to go far from chapter 18 to find chapter 17. All right, chapter 17, verse 17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Notice, a friend, you see that? "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We said, what's the Bible telling us? The Bible's telling us there, if you're going to be going to maintain good relationship, be consistent. Be consistent in it, all right? Good relationships are kept by consistently being loyal to someone. Consistently doing it. We live in a day of fickle people. Fickle people, man, people just wishy-washy, all right? And the sad thing is even true of people who claim to be our friend, maybe. They say, "Well, man, they're awful fickle. Well, cut them off." No, I was kidding. Don't, all right? Be consistent. Be consistent. Inconsistency in your relationship with other folks is going to definitely hinder the development of good relations. Be consistent. You say, "What do you mean?" Be that way all the time. Notice what the last half of that verse says, all right? "The friend loveth at all times." Consistent. Consistent. All times. All times. And then "a brother is born for adversity." Now, sometimes that brother doesn't necessarily have to be blood kin. Doesn't have to be blood kin, all right? But it's born for adversity. Look, tough or difficult times shouldn't mark the end of our relationship with people. You say, "We go through hard times. We went through a difficult time, a rough road." Okay, fine. But you be consistent. You be consistent. Just be your friend. Hey, look, I just got news for you. I'm your friend. Can I say this to you? You're stuck with me. And so, well, I'll offend you. Go ahead, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. No matter, you do whatever. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be your friend. I've had some friends and had a preacher friend that, man, sorely, sorely disappointed me. I'm going to tell you this, I'm still his friend. Now, didn't excuse what he did. What he did was wrong. But you hear me, I'm still his friend. Still his friend. My wife, on occasion, cooks a meal. Things don't come out too good. Okay? Now, that is rare, very rare. But I just want to tell you something. That happens, I don't throw a tantrum. I don't go through the house slinging dishes everywhere. "Man, that's not fit to eat, all right? What's wrong with you, woman?" Well, that'd be dumb. That'd be dumb. You say, "Well, that'd be stupid." Yeah, it would be, but that's the way we treat our friends. something happens, we write them off. Now be careful, all right? Be careful about it, okay? You're going to go, there'll be some difficult times, but the Bible says, okay, a friend loveth at all times. Good, bad, indifferent. Hey, your relationships need to be maintained on an even keel when it's smooth sailing and when the waters are troubled. Ought to be all the time. It ought to be consistent. It ought to be that way, okay? You ought to look people in the eye and say, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. And not let anything back away from it, not anything take away from that. Now, friends can disappoint you. You say, what do you do in that case? You'd be their friend. You'd be the friend. Just be friends. Be friendly, okay? Be friendly. It's so important that we learn to do that, all right? Be consistent in that friendship. We don't want it to be up and down all the time. I mentioned, boy, in school we have kids, they're friends one day, mortal enemies the next. That's okay. The next day, they're friends again. It's crazy. Crazy. Take your Bible. Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, if you will. Man, I'm at the wrong verse. All right? I've got the wrong verse written down. Gee whiz, what an aggravation. I hate it when my computer does these kind of things. Just irks me to no end, all right? Hey, one thing you need to do if you're going to be friends and you're going to have a relationship, you need to make a commitment. It means you make a commitment. Now, let me explain. To make a commitment is to determine that you're going to do something on purpose. To make a commitment is to determine that you are going to do something on purpose, all right? On purpose. You won't forsake your friend, okay? You won't forsake that friend when things get messed up a little bit, all right? You don't give up on them just because something happens. And it even goes beyond that, okay? It even goes beyond that. It talks about, the Bible tells us we're to be a friend to our father's friends. We need to keep that, all right? Won't forsake your friend, neither would you forsake your father's friend. Brother J.J. Minyard, I'm going to preach on him tonight, okay? Sarah said I was going to preach on her. I'm not preaching on you, Sarah, okay? I'm going to preach on Brother Minyard. Brother Minyard was my dad's friend. He was my dad's friend. My dad abused him, all right? Man, Dad called him up and said, I need this done, you know? And Brother Minyard said, when? He said, well, right now. Brother Minyard tell you that. And he was my dad's friend. And I'm going to tell you what. He's my friend, and I'm his friend. I'm his friend. I value that friendship, okay? I value that. Old friends, old family friends ought to be maintained, okay? They ought to be maintained. Some of them are more dependable than a member of your own family. All right? They are, you know? Sometimes you get separated from your family by great distances. They're living in another state or somewhere else, and that closeness is no longer there. But man, you got that friend. You got maybe that family friend's been around for a while. Hey, don't lose touch with your friends if at all possible. Don't lose touch with them. I got some text messages this week, and I want all of you that sent me you said happy birthday and those kind of things. Man, I really appreciate that so much. It's good of you to do it. But I got one from one fella. It was before my birthday. It had nothing to do with my birthday. And he just brought up an old memory. He graduated from our Christian school years ago. And I really kind of lost touch with him. Didn't know what had happened to him. And I find out he's going to Bible college. And he's working on his PhD. And I'm going, huh? And Brother Marion's daughter that was in school with him, she told me, she said, yeah, he thinks the world of you. Well, I said, well, I didn't know that. Now, we spent hours together when he was in school. Hours together. There were a lot of problems and a lot of things he had to overcome. And he texted me this past week or past couple days ago and just talking back and forth about some old memories, and I just texted him. One thing I texted him is, I said, boy, sure, I'm glad you didn't waste my investment in you. I'm glad you're using that. What a blessing. He's a friend. Now, I'm his friend. I haven't seen him, don't see him very much, but if he were to call and there was something I could do, you know what? I'd do it. Why? My friend. I'm a friend. We need to make that commitment, okay? Friendships demand a commitment. I'm going to be your friend, and I will be your friend, come what may, whatever might happen. I am your friend. You can count on it. Don't you worry about it. You can count on me to be your friend, all right? Now, friendships, how do we maintain them? Look in Proverbs 25, verse 17. Here's a verse that's almost got a little negativity about it, all right? The Bible says in Proverbs 25, 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Now, a friend is a friend. And you may spend a lot of time together with your friend. But can I say this? You don't live there. Know when to go home. Some people don't know when to go home. I've told you about a fellow that I love him. I'm his friend. He is my friend. But years ago, he came over, my wife and I. I don't think we had any kids at that time. He came over one night, sat down. We were talking, enjoyed the visit and everything. But, man, it's getting later and later and later. And my wife finally said, well, I'm going to bed. And she called her name and said, I'll see you. Glad to see you. Good to have you come over. And she went to bed. And I thought, I wonder if I said that, it would help. All right, but anyway, I just, you know, was there talking. Now, don't misunderstand me. This didn't affect my relationship, but it serves to illustrate what I'm trying to get across to you here, all right? I finally got to the point I needed to go to bed. And you say, well, what'd you do? I stood up off the couch. I headed towards the door, and I said, hey, man, I sure am glad you came over. It's good to see you. I opened the door, and I said, come back to see me any time. He said, what did he do? He left. You said, was he mad? No. He just needed encouragement in the right direction, all right? Hey, you be careful. Your friends are important, but don't wear them out. There's a line there, okay? What is it that makes diamonds so valuable? They're rare. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of diamonds. There's a lot more diamonds that are on the market. But they control how many get on the market. Because the rarer they are, the more value they are. They increase in value when they're rare. You need to think about that with your friendships, all right? Make the visits with friends precious time. Make it precious time. Don't allow it to become tedious. Now, my dad was on the opposite end of that spectrum. Okay? Instead of being tedious, my dad, you know, we'd come to Texas from Georgia, and we'd come out here to see my mom's family, and in 2 days or one and a half, or just one sometimes, my dad, he's ready to go back home. He's ready. He said, well, he didn't like them. No, he liked them. He liked them, but he said, I've said, you know, I remember when we grew older, I didn't try this when I was a kid, all right? When I was older, I said, hey, Dad, why we? He said, said everything we're going to say, everything we're going to talk about, we talked about it, might as well go home. Now, there's some truth there, okay? There's some truth in that. You got friends, good thing to have friends, but know when to leave, all right? Don't allow your time together to become tedious. It's possible for even the very best of friends to become wearisome if you get too much of them, all right? Or they get too much of you. And now you say, well, my friends would never do that, and they'd never say that to me. That doesn't mean they're not thinking it. I'm not going to ask you.
Have you ever had somebody come over that you got to the point where you said, you know, I wish y'all would go ahead and go home. Now, I like you, but just go ahead, all right? Be considerate. Be considerate of others' time and their privacy. Be considerate of that. By the way, that includes constant phone calls and all of that, you know? Can I say this to you and not offend you? If you're texting me, if I've got to text back more than two times, call me. Because if you don't, I will call you. I don't like, you know, I'm not a two-thumb texter, all right? I'm a one-finger texter. And I get tired of it real quick. I just get tired. And somebody do it, you know, I think it's Brother Blanton wasn't too long ago. He had texted me, and I said, phooey. I called him. He said, hey, brother, how you doing? I'm tired of punching this phone. What do you want to talk about, all right? And I wasn't mad at him, okay? Now, you say, well, I enjoy that. I'd rather talk. Let's get it out, get it said, goodbye, all right? Just all that time texting. And then plus, I don't know about your phone. My phone sends the wrong words. Your phone ever do that? Sends the wrong words. I complete the text, I mash the deal and send it, and I look at it and I go, oh, my soul. That's not what I meant to say. I don't know where that even came from. So I'd rather not do that, all right, and just do it. Hey, but realize people have that right. They've got a little privacy. Don't think it's all the time, every time, you know. Your friendships, hey, they're good. You got to be friendly. You need to be consistent. It takes a commitment, but you need to give some consideration to other folks and their privacy, all right? But something else. Look in chapter 27, would you? Chapter 27. Look at verse 9. Chapter 27, verse 9. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Good counsel can sweeten the relationship. And by that, I mean between the two, all right? And I'm talking about words given maybe in a time of struggle, maybe in a time of hurt, maybe in a time of trouble or trial, okay? Whatever. Just good counsel is good. Sometimes it's good to just let others know that you know they're having a difficult time. At funeral today, at the end of that funeral, I told the family, good number of family folks there, and Mrs. Moore had one daughter that still, she had had a son and a daughter die in the past, and I said, you know, you family people here, I said, you ought to get in touch with this lady. And oftentimes I do that at a funeral, and I'll tell people, hey, don't forget about these folks. Don't forget about them. Call them. Call them on the phone. And now, here's what the problem is. I don't know what to say. I told them, well, say hello. All right? Say hello. Just call and check on you. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. Hey, can I tell you something? That goes a long ways. It goes a long ways with people. Just to call them and say, here I am. I'm thinking about you. I care about you. And if I can help you, let me know. And by the way, if you see something and you know it would be a help, just do it. Just do it. Why? Because they're your friends. You're their friend. You're their friend. Just do that. Hey, here I am. I'm interested in you. I haven't forgot about you. Just a little good, good counsel along the way. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. But now I want to say this. Let me be careful. Be careful about offering unsolicited advice. But let's look at the flip side. At the same time, be willing to receive it. Be willing to receive it. I'll just use my brother. I pick on him anyway. I use my brother for an example. He could call me up and he'd say, look, I think I need to tell you this. I think this is something you need to do. Now, I got two or three choices. I can say, mind your own business. Stay out of my life. Or I can listen.
Listen, can I say this to you? You don't have to take the advice, but you could listen. You could consider it. Consider it. I've told people that's worked for me before. I said, you know, if you got a suggestion, offer it up. I say, it doesn't mean I'll do it, but I'll consider it. And you know what? Later on, we might do it. Later on, it might get done. But don't take offense. Hey, if you give advice and somebody doesn't take it, they'll say, well, bless God, I'm done with you. I tried to help you, and you wouldn't listen. Don't be so quick to give up on people. Don't be so quick to write folks off. Now, I don't know about you, but I never have stood in a position where I thought, okay, I've got too many friends on this list. We've got to get rid of some of them. I've never been in that position. I've never wanted to say, got to get rid of some of these friends. I just got too many to have. No, so I want to value them, but I'll listen to their advice. But be careful about giving unsolicited advice, okay? Now, the next point is going to go with this point. They're kind of side by side, all right? Be careful about it. There's a well-known statement that says some can give it but cannot take it. There's some people can give advice, but they can't take advice. Can I say this to you? You ought to strive to be able to do both. Be able to do both. Now, once again, I go back, be careful about the advice you give, right? Be careful about the advice you give. I gave you the illustration of my kids. When my kids got married, I told them, I said, I'm going to try to stay out of your life. I don't want you to think I'm hovering around and I'm trying to tell you what to do. I said, I've been telling you what to do for years, and by now you ought to have enough wisdom to do it. I didn't give them all of this, all right? I didn't give them all the speech, but this is what I'm thinking. By now, you ought to know what to do and how to do it. And I'm not going to just stand over you and try to run your business and run your life. I'll try to stay out of it. I think you could ask both of my kids, and they'd tell you he's done that, all right? He's done that. Now, at the same time, I told them this, but if I see you doing something that I think is a major mistake, I'll say something. Now, if it's a small mistake, it won't kill you to make it. It won't hurt you to make it. It doesn't hurt if you make a mistake. You learn from your mistakes. All right? But I said, now, a big one, I'm going to do it. But some people can give it, but they can't take it. All right? We ought to work hard at being able to do both. We ought to work hard at being able to give good counsel. But we ought to be willing to receive that counsel. Be willing to listen to it. Proverbs 27, look at verse 17, all right? Verse 17, now this goes hand in hand with it. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. True friends are concerned about you. And if you are a true friend, you're concerned about your friend and what's best for them. There's some great examples in the Bible. I believe Moses and Joshua, great example. David and Jonathan, great example. Here's some folks, they brought out the best in each other. They brought out the best in each other. The way they work together, all right? Real friends do that kind of thing. Real friends encourage you when you fail. They'll come by, and they'll stand with you, and they'll say, okay, hey, it'll be all right. We'll get through it, okay? They also speak up if they see you headed in the wrong direction. They'll speak up. They're not going to go, hey, my friend, I didn't want to make them mad. Okay, so you let them do something real stupid. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. I told you in the last years of her life, my mom, she had people really working hard to scam her. And trying to extort money out of her, get money out of her. And I didn't just stand by and think, well, okay, Mom, I've told you, but if you're going to do it, go ahead. No, I didn't do that. All right? I didn't do that. You said, well, the only reason you did it is because you wanted the money when she died. No. It just angered me with everything. Oh, by the way, we got tons of money. All right? No, they didn't have that. But it just provoked me to think somebody would take advantage of my mother and get money out of her, and you're a sorry, lying rascal. If I could have got my hands on that person, I would have went to jail. Man, I was furious. Just furious I could be. But I spoke up. We had to take some action. Didn't want to do and didn't enjoy doing it. Wasn't good. It was hard, all right? But why? She was headed in the wrong direction. Headed in the wrong direction. Look, if your friend's headed in the wrong direction, you'll speak up. You'll speak up, all right? By the way, it also, the flip side of that is you'll be able to receive instruction contrary to your thoughts and opinions. You'll be willing to receive it, all right? But I want you to look again at that verse. I want you to look again at verse. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. So, I've got my knife with me. If I'm going to sharpen this, what I need is a piece of iron and just whang it down right on there, right? Would that sharpen it? He said, no, I wouldn't sharpen it. That'd make it blunt. Could I suggest this to you? Would you remember that? Sometimes we'll say, well, iron sharpeneth iron. I'm just trying to help you. No, man, you're about to beat me to death. That's not helping. That is not helping. It's not really the best thing in the world to be so stinking blunt when you're trying to sharpen iron. Like I say, when you're sharpening an axe, you don't take the, you do not take the sharpening tool and go, bam! You do, that's the reason you don't have a sharp axe. Can I say that, all right? But you take that whetstone, and what do? You kind of caress it like a little bit, you know, softly, kind of a little bit of gentleness to it, right? You do that? Y'all with me? But when we're trying to sharpen the counseling of our friend, we jump on both feet. Well, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. You don't just whack them, okay? You don't just whack them there. You come to them. You spend some time. You're concerned about them. Hey, you ought to challenge your friend. And challenging that friend develops that good relationship, all right? But it's not done beating them to death. Not done beating them to death. You come at it from a... I almost want to say come at it from the side, you know, a little bit. What helps? Go to Proverbs 18, would you? Proverbs chapter 18. I'm trying to move fast tonight. Proverbs 18, look at verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Hey, I want to tell you, thoughtfulness and generosity can spur friendships between people. Can spur friendships. I'm talking about a genuine concern for folks with no ulterior motive, no selfish motive involved. It's not, well, I want to develop that friendship because it will benefit me. No, remember what I said the first point? You need to be friendly. Be friendly. All right? And one of the things you can do is have some thoughtfulness about somebody else. I'm going to give you a personal illustration. Years ago, I was at a national meeting in another state. And I traveled there. I wasn't in my vehicle. I can't remember. Flew, rode the train, got there somehow. Hitchhiked. I don't remember. But I was in another state and national meeting, and the promised transportation didn't show up. And I was in a motel away from where the meeting was, and I was stuck. Another preacher came along who happened to be staying there and offered me a ride. More than once, okay? More than once. During that meeting, he did that. I'm going to tell you something. That trip cemented a friendship between myself
and Sylvester Matthews that only ended with his death. I'm still Sylvester Matthews' friend. I'd have done anything that I could have for him. I have absolutely nothing but good to say about him. Why? Because he was generous and helpful to me when I needed it. And the flip side, I would have done the same for him. I'd never met him before then. Now, he was in Mesquite. I lived here. Wasn't very far, but I was in another state when I met him. And now, I'd heard the name, but I'd never met him. But he and I became friends. And we saw each other. We could resume that friendship where we were. We would chat, talk, have a good time together, all right? And good, he always remembered my name. I knew who he was. He was just a good man. Now, can I say this to you? You don't have to be rich to be generous. Because generosity involves more than just money. More than just money. You want that friendship, learn to give of yourself. Give your time, your substance, your stuff if need be. Those things help to build, grow, and maintain a relationship. Just be willing. Just be willing. I'll do it. I'll do it. I can talk about that husband-wife relationship. I hated Garden Ridge Pottery. Glad the stinking place closed down, all right? But if I'd go with my wife, she wanted to go. Why? Because I liked her. All right? I liked her. I'd do it. I'd go that, all right? Hey, I was willing to be generous with my time. I was willing to say, okay, no problem. Now, I confess to you, it was hard for me not to be this way there. But I tried not to be that way. Tried not to be that way. Hey, you don't have to be rich to be generous. Now, I hope you kind of get the overall leaning of this message. Friendship depends on you. Doesn't depend on the other person. Depends on you. See, I can be your friend if you hate me. I can still be your friend. I can do that. Be generous. Last thing, real quickly, chapter 25, Proverbs 25, verse 9. There's more, but we're going to quit, okay? Just want to get here. A debate, chapter 25, verse 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. Know how to keep a secret. Friendships are ruined because people run off at the mouth. Just don't know how to do it. Just know how to keep your mouth shut. If you've got conflict with a friend, don't air it in public. Don't air it in public. Don't take it in front of everybody. Handle it in private. Well, you know, get out there and tell everybody. I watch people do that kind of thing, and then later on they make up with that person. And they're friends again, but wait a minute, they've already talked about them to somebody else, and they've turned that other person against them because of what they said. Keep your mouth shut. Just don't do it, all right? If you have a falling out with someone or they with you, don't divulge knowledge that was given to you in confidence. Don't do that, all right? Just don't allow that to take place. Make it a habit, all right? Learn to keep that secret. Learn to keep that secret. We won't do that. We get mad at people, and we think, well, I must tell that. Well, you're a lousy friend. You're not a friend. And by the way, you might get that friend back at some time. But it's going to be harder if you've told something you shouldn't have. You told something. No reason to tell it. No reason to put it out there. No reason to do it. Look, there's a lot in the Bible about how to win friends, gain friends, and to keep friends. Let me sum it up by saying, look for the right kind of friend, but most importantly, be the right kind of friend. Be the right kind of friend. You may be like me. There may be some friends you have, but you have to keep them at a distance. You can't get too close to them. You just have to keep them at a distance. Now, you're their friend, but you got to kind of hold them off. Doesn't help if you get too close to them. Be wise about it. Be wise about it. I sincerely believe that people could have friends if we just try. Just hey, it means give of yourself. It means take some things. Well, you're not going to talk to me like that. Well, get over yourself. Get over yourself. You know, some people lose their cool and say things they wish they hadn't have said. And as a friend, you've got to learn to overlook that. You've got to learn to overlook it. People get stirred up, you know. Something's happened, and you've got to learn to overlook some things. You've just got to learn to say, okay. Now, I don't mean excusing wrong. I don't mean that. But I do mean this. We need to be careful. Value that thing called your friends. Value those people. Invest in those people. And put the effort into that thing called friendship. You know, I think as a church, we ought to be the friendliest place in town. Friendliest place in town. There's a church in Haltom City called Friendly Lane Baptist Church. That lying preacher down there says they're the friendliest place in town. Now, they're not. We are. We are. Now, I know their pastor, by the way. We're friends, okay? So don't go call him and say, my preacher called you a liar, all right? Of course, if you did, he'd probably say, I'm not surprised. But, hey, listen, you and I, this ought to be a friendly place. We ought to welcome people. Now, we don't excuse their sin. Excuse their sin, but we welcome people. We're going to be friendly. Now, I've talked about friendship. You got to be careful who your closest friends are. You got to be careful. I mean, I used to preach that to teenagers all the time. You better be careful who your real closest friends are. Don't have somebody a friend that's going to get you into problem. A real friend's one's going to keep you out of trouble. Real friends are going to keep you out of trouble, not get you into trouble. All right? Just mark it down. They'll keep you out. It's important. Go back to the text verse, would you? Go back to the text verse there in chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Look at verse 24 again. The last verse there in that chapel, that chapter. Of a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a song about him in our songbook. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I tell you what, if you don't know that friend, you've missed it. You've missed it. Need to know him. Need to know him. The good thing about it, he's easy to get to know. He's not like some people that said, nope, don't want to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. Good thing about it is you can be as close to Jesus Christ as you want to be, but it's going to be on his terms, not yours. Close as you want to be. How close to him are you tonight? Do you know him? You know him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? You say, preacher, of course I have. Good. How close are you to him? You know, sometimes it amazes me. We want to be friends, closer friends to people here than we do with our Lord. Shouldn't be like that. Shouldn't be like that. Would you stand tonight with bowed heads, every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, if you don't know the Lord, you can meet him tonight. You say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it.